Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here, and thank you for coming, especially if you're a visitor tonight. Maybe you've never been here before. You're really very welcome. Thank you for coming, and we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you've learned something. We hope you've heard from God tonight. And as we open his word together, we know that we will be hearing from him even as we read it and as we look at it together. Maybe if you'd turn to Psalm 11. You'll excuse me, I have a very bad chest today. I was telling somewhere I was speaking this morning, I said to them, I wasn't really sure this morning whether it was a dry cough or a chesty cough, so I just took a spoonful of both, and hopefully we'll be all right. Just to say, if there are any young people here tonight, maybe you're new to the church, you're very welcome. If you're up to the age of 18 to come along to BYF on a Friday night, and also if you're over that, if you're in your later teens and early 20s, and, well, later 20s too, actually, speak to Paul McCreary, and there's things happen for that age group too. So please feel at home if you've started coming here. Don't be a stranger. I think we're friendly, but I'll let you be the judge of that. I was asked to speak on Psalm 11 quite a few months ago. I didn't choose this for myself. Paul asked me to speak on it. The theme of the evening was really decided back then. And I think it's so fitting that this was the theme that was set when you think of the things that have happened in our world over the past week. I was speaking on even a similar topic this morning. And 7 days ago, we lived in a different world. And things happen, things change. And Richard was saying earlier about thinking about the safety and the world of his daughter that she's growing up in. And there's so much cause to be concerned. There's so much cause to be anxious and maybe to be worried and maybe to think, well, how are we going to live tomorrow? What is it going to be like in 5 years? What's it going to be like in 10 years? I'm not going to lie, sometimes maybe the world seems like a scary place. But of course, human history is no stranger to disaster. It's not new. And it's certainly not new to God. The idea that people would do terrible, brutal things has been happening from the earliest pages of our Bibles. From the very first murder, right through the Bible and the wars that we see, right through history, the things that we see. Just brutality at human hands. What do we do? What do we as Christians do? How are we meant to respond to this? What are we meant to say? How are we meant to think and how are we meant to feel as we go about our everyday life? That's why we're going to read Psalm 11 tonight. And you've heard parts of it quoted already, but let's read it together. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may secretly or privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. I just scribbled a title along the top of my page earlier. I'm not very inventive with my sermon titles. They don't rhyme or anything like that. But I just wrote three things to help you through the days ahead. And we're really going to take the next 10 minutes and we're going to look at three things from this psalm to help us through the days ahead. Promises that we can lead on. I could stand up here and give an I could try and give an inspirational pep talk. Mightn't go very well, but it certainly wouldn't do you any good in the coming days. We need, as God's people, to be able to go home, to open our Bibles and see these truths for ourselves. I know that the Lord is the one whom we put our trust in, and he is still seated on his throne. Here's the first thing that we see in Psalm 11. In verses 1 to 3, which we've just read, watch where you run to. Now, we heard about sporting earlier. I don't do much running either, truth be told. But of course, we're not talking about physical running here. Where do we go to? Where do we go to get what we think we need in the face of anxiety and difficulties and trouble? This psalm was probably written by David. At this time, if we try to date this psalm, it's probably when he's a young man. He's in the courts of Saul. For those of you that don't know the story, I'm assuming most of you do, Saul's the king. David's not in line to the throne, but Saul reckons and probably knows that he's going to end up getting it. David knows that he's going to be king. God's already told him that. And yet he works in the courts of Saul, and Saul hates him. And yet he has a really loyal servant in David. In fact, it's so awful for David that he escapes narrowly with his life at times, and in fact he has to go away almost for good at one point from Saul. These were hard times for David. You know, we can sit in the comfort of our homes and we can watch the TV and we can see the atrocities that happen around the world. But David, this was happening to him. Personally, he was the one that was on the receiving end of Saul's anger. And what does he say? What's his opening line of this song that he writes? In the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust. And so it begs a question that we have to ask ourselves. Well, if I were to write Psalm 11, what would the opening line truly be? Not what I think it should say. What would it truly be? In the what put I my trust? In other words, what am I relying on? Some other maniac does some awful deed within the next month. In the what does Andrew McNab put his trust? In the what do you put your trust in the face of those things? You see, it's so tempting to run away. Look what he says. He says, in the Lord put I my trust. So how can you say to my soul, go and run away to the mountain? I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. And yet we all know there is that option. Let's run away. Let's bury our head in the sand. Let's ignore the news. Let's run away from God. I'm not going to put my trust in him. I'm not going to put myself on the line. For those of us who are Christians in the workplace, the time's going to come when this is a decision that you may have to make. Am I going to put my trust in the Lord and speak truth? Or am I going to run away? Am I going to run away? Am I just going to say, you know what, I'm not going to talk about being a Christian anymore. I'm not going to speak about the name of Jesus. I'm not going to give my input into this situation. It's hard to be a Christian in the workplace. It's hard to be a Christian out of the workplace. And yet we're told to put our trust in the Lord. Because you see, as we run, look what it says in verse 2. The wicked are bending their bow. They're ready. The wicked are always scheming. They're always trying to find some way to get against God's people. And surely if we are running away from God, we're at our weakest. Surely when the wicked are bending their bow, when they're hiding in private to shoot arrows at us, that's the time we want to be in the Lord's presence. That's the time we want to be walking close with him. That's the time when we want to be truthfully able to say, I am putting my trust in the Lord. He's the one that I put my trust in. And you see, it says here that in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, do you ever feel like you're living in a society where the foundations are just being destroyed? Where morality's just being chipped away, where it's being redefined? And I'm not even just speaking here as a Christian saying that my worldview's under attack. Your worldview's under attack too. You might say you're right, but I'm right too. And somebody else is right. The foundations are being destroyed. So why at that point would we want to be running anywhere but to God? Can I encourage you, as I encourage myself from Psalm 11, put your trust in God. He is the one where our trust is to be found. He is the one that we are to run to. Here's the second thing. So number one, watch where you run to. Number two, verse four. Remember God's still on the throne. We sometimes say that as a cheap phrase, but it's true. This is the central verse in this psalm. It's right in the middle. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The central verse of this psalm brings hope. In the middle of a context here, and even for us today, where there just seems to be a storm swirling round about, we can find our hope in a God who's still on the throne. Hasn't abdicated. Isn't absent. Hasn't run away. Hasn't decided I don't want to deal with this anymore. He's very much still on his throne. He's very much still in control. He very much knows absolutely everything that's going on. Seeing societies destroy themselves is nothing new to our God. It's been happening for thousands of years. He's seen it time and time again. Not only that, that God who's on the throne, he sees how difficult it is for you at work. He sees how difficult it is for you, young people and children at school, when you try to say something for Jesus and somebody laughs at you. He sees that. He understands that. When somebody asks your opinion on something and you try your best to give a Christian answer, what you see to be true in the Bible, and you're scorned and you're mocked and you're ridiculed, God sees that. He's the one that sits on the throne. He's the one in whom we put our trust. He's not distant in our time of need. He might feel like he is, but we shouldn't be based on what we feel about God. It says in Psalm 11, he is on his throne. We have to cling to what we know in these days, because there's going to be a lot of emotions that fling around in our heads. And what do we know? We know that God's still on his throne. There's nothing in this world, nothing that falls outside the bounds of his sovereign control. It might seem like it sometimes, but if that's not true, he's not God. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows exactly when it's going to happen. He knows where his people will be. He knows how he's going to look out for his people. Does that mean that we understand it all? No. Does that mean that he's going to tell us all the bad things that are going to happen? No. Does that mean that we'll ever get an explanation for why certain things happen in life? No. But we can be sure that he knows and that he understands. He's God. He's the one that's able to take it all in. How would you like to have your mind filled with every single thing that happens in the universe? Be awful. And yet our God knows it all. He knows it all. Remember that God is still on his throne. Here's the third thing. Pursue righteousness wholeheartedly. This is not a time to cower away from it all. This is a time to put our trust in God and to walk close with him. What do we do in the light of the disastrous things that happen around the world? Give up? Sit back? Just say, oh, well, God's still on his throne. He'll handle it. I'll just go and say nothing. No. We get busy pursuing God with all that we've got. We need to be people that walk with him. We need to be people that are putting our hope in him. Look what it says here. The Lord loves the righteous, and the righteous Lord loves righteousness. I love that. This is the time that we need to lift high the name of Jesus. We don't need to be rude. We don't need to be arrogant. We don't need to know it all. But we need to be not ashamed to lift his name high and say, yes, I follow him. You know what? I don't believe that. I believe what God's word says. Maybe in here tonight you don't know Christ. Maybe you've listened to this and you've thought, you Christians, how can you really have that hope? Like, how do you work that up within yourself? Well, we don't. It's given to us. God gives us the faith that we need to trust him. He imparts it to us. He gives us the trust that we need, the trust that he is in control. As we read his word, he is the one that shines his light on it so that we understand it. If you're in here tonight, you're not a Christian, and you think, I don't get this, ask God to show you. Ask God to show you what it means. This is probably just a book to you if you don't know Jesus Christ. But it's so much more than that when you know him. The prayer meeting tonight, prayers have already been going up for those who don't know Jesus Christ. If you want to speak to anybody that's been at the front tonight, or maybe the person that brought you, do that. God's call to you is repent and believe. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new start. He'll give you a new hope. I don't know what next week holds. I don't know what next year holds. God does. And that's enough for me. Let's read Psalm 11 again, and then we'll finish. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. Let's pray.